Rick.
Hey, Grace.
How's it going?
Great question.
Yes.
Are you dressed legally to hunt, rifle, deer in PA?
It depends on where I am, right?
How so? No.
Oh. I'm gonna go with yes, because I got 360. I got 360 Hunter Orange on my head.
I love that answer because I can tell you why it's wrong.
great. That's good.
250 square inches on
Okay.
head, chest, and back.
Ooh, but that's for hunters, right?
Yeah, I said, are you legal? Are you legal to hunt in PA?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I
Nice.
believe I didn't look it up. I believe it's the law on state game lands is if you're using it during hunting season, you technically have to wear the 250 square inches.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to learn so much today. I don't know what the rules are for hunting, but I do know what the rules are if I am a pedestrian during hunting season. We're going to talk about all those things though today, and I'm not going to do it with this thing on my head because it's way too hot.
That is you not committing to what we're here for.
Are we here for?
To talk about hunting.
Oh, yeah, we are talking about hunting. We're talking about hunting in Pennsylvania. And it's going to be a good show.
Yes, we should probably go ahead and start it.
Sounds good.
Okay. I'm actually just about ready, so we might as well start. Oh, excuse me. All right, Grace, listen up. Grace, it's hunting season, so you can find me either at the base of or up in a tree. Let's talk about how running and hunting can be friends on episode 143.
I'm Eric Idiot Runner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
Now I want to get something off my chest and onto this screen here real quick
Okay.
before the show even starts.
I'm ready.
I'm probably going to say something somewhere along the path of this show that ruffles somebody's cute little feathers.
Turkey
My
feathers?
could be turkey, could be crow. You're allowed to hunt crows.
Grouse?
Could be what kind of grouse?
Ruffed grouse?
Thank you. There's no L in there. It's a ruffed grouse and it's our state bird.
Yes.
This is amazing because I hope there's people on here that never realized that. And it's our state bird. So it should be a known thing. It's a ruffed grouse, not a ruffled grouse. But yeah, so I'm not meaning to ruffle any feathers, but I have my own opinions that are mine. So
Yeah.
therefore, if I state them and you don't agree, the thing is, I don't care. But
Oh, well,
so.
this is not new, so we know that.
I know. So
Yeah.
anyway, I
I
don't
mean,
think it'll
when
happen, but it might happen. And yeah.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think this is going to be an educational episode. We have some episodes where we have people who talk about their awesome stories. Sometimes we talk about awesome races, and sometimes we do a little education. And I think this is a great one because we're going to be talking about it's hunting season within the state of Pennsylvania and many other states as well. Each state has a little bit of different laws and rules and some unwritten rules related to it. And so we thought that we would talk about what they are in Pennsylvania. And I think that's great.
I love that you think that we are going to educate people. And because of that, I would like to request that you call me professor for this whole show.
Not gonna happen, but I love the request. You can keep requesting things.
I mean, it felt right. It would make me happy, but whatever.
Okay.
I mean, it's just a word, whatever. How was your weekend, Grace?
My one was awesome. I did with a friend of the show and producer of the show, Clara. We did the 24-hour Yeti challenge.
Oh, that's right. I saw you running every, 4 hours or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every 4 hours. So it was super fun. We started Thanksgiving night, which was just great because you run 5.2 miles every 4 hours for 24 hours. So in between runs, I had like leftover stuffing and leftover mashed potatoes. Like it was just perfect timing. And then still had the whole weekend ahead of me, Saturday and Sunday. And I was super lazy on Saturday. And then Sunday we had the second race in the winter series, which went really, really well. So 2 down, 7 to go. It was a good weekend. How about you? Did you do some hunting?
I hunted my butt off all weekend.
So you have no butt. You left it to hunting.
Correct. It's somewhere up on the mountain. Okay. But yeah, good time outside, getting cold and seeing some deer. And I enjoyed it. I got to hunt with my best friend from college. We hunt. We get together every year on the first weekend and second weekend and go up on a mountain above the Idiot Loop and hang out and hunt. So, yeah, it was good.
Awesome.
So, back to, before we get all crazy and everything, back to where we started the show at with the orange requirement. Hunters are required in rifle season in PA to wear 254 inches on their head, chest, and back at all times.
Yeah.
Now, I looked it up real quick on the cellular device just to make sure I wasn't blabbing on. And if you're on state game lands, if you're using state game lands recreationally, not hunting, it is the law that you have that same amount of orange on from November 15th through December 15th.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. So it's, and it, this one is one that's misunderstood. And here's my only thing with it. Like
It's new that it's required. It's just a few years old that it's required. Yeah. It was recommended, but they changed it and they didn't make a big deal about it. Like they're signed out, but nobody pays attention to them.
Yeah. Well, I think actually what I hear more of is a misunderstanding in the opposite direction. And here's the thing. I personally, from about November 1st until January 31st is when I wear orange all the time. I wear orange when I'm on trail, even sometimes when I'm on the road. If I'm outside running, I'm just wearing orange. It doesn't matter where I am. But I know of some people who will like get upset if you're not wearing orange and you're on a trail and you're in, say, a county park. It doesn't even allow hunting. And it's like, well, you don't have, there are places where you don't have to wear orange. So you don't have to get upset with those people. That being said, my opinion is just if you're out in the woods this time of year, it's a good practice to wear orange the whole time.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not like state forest is a different entity than state game lands. It's still public property. It's still open for everybody. It's purchased with different money, but I don't think they have that same actual law that you have to wear orange. You're an idiot if you go through the woods in rifle season and not wear it, in my opinion.
County Park is one of them that's a little different. Like we down here in York County, we have a lot of county park land. And so that county park land, technically, no, you don't have to wear it. But I think it's still, one, you should still wear orange because a lot of county parks go up against private land where people could be hunting. And it's just a good practice to just wear it all the time. And there are county parks that do allow hunting on certain days. So Rocky Ridge County Park, William H. Kane County Park, for example, December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, they open up to rifle hunting for 3 days. So it's just a good practice to wear orange all the time and also to pay attention to what your local parks are doing because they might have additional rules on top of just what state game land is doing. So our county parks allow bow, but there's certain 3 days out of the year that they allow rifle. So that's good. And pedestrians are not allowed to be in county park land hiking or running or anything like that when it's rifle. So on those 3 days, you're not allowed in those county parks. So it's good to know that stuff, you know?
Yeah, and it's also really good to just use common sense. I mean, yeah. Unless you want accidents to happen, use common sense. And my example is these areas that you don't have to wear it. And if you're against wearing orange and say, bah humbug, I don't like orange and I'm not going to wear it, that's fine. You're not required to. But if it's bear season, I wouldn't suggest wearing that hoodie you have on right now, Grace.
Right.
And I think it's common sense why. Because you're asking.
I do look like a bear.
For mistakes to happen. So little stuff like that is, you don't wear the anywhere near the color brown when it's deer season.
Yeah. And it's a great excuse to look. I have some hunter orange pants that are also reflective. Hunter orange shorts, tank top, long sleeve, hats. Like, it's a great opportunity to just deck yourself out in head to toe orange.
And you could get an Idiot Runner hat that literally says you're not a deer. So then you don't even have to talk to anything. Just be like point your head. They'll think you're crazy. Not a deer. But yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun opportunity to get some new swag. I think for the race directors out there, there's a couple of people I know who have purposefully made their swag hunter orange, which I think is a great idea. I think it is, I know Wazelle made some stuff that was hunter orange and reflective for a little bit. And then it all went on clearance because I don't think it sold really well. And it's not as much of a West Coast thing. I wish some of the bigger apparel companies would make more things in hunter orange. Their loss, we get to wear more Idiot Runner gear. but it's, you know, it's a shame that we don't have more options. So I think for those race directors out there, consider making some stuff in hunter orange because it's really useful.
Yeah. what direction you want to go, Grace?
So let's go with next topic, which is, here's my next thing. Ready? This is one thing that I would like. Thank you. We're going to do these hands right here. These are the hands we're doing. Because we're paying attention. So this is a thing that it just, I try not to be irked by things, but it's a thing that gets under my skin a little bit. And I just want to talk about it and educate because there might be some people who don't know any better. And that is private land that is used in the off season as trail. So the Mason-Dixon Trail, for example, goes through private land. There is a section in particular that I can think of that goes through private land, and that landowner owns that land specifically for hunting. And so between October 1 and January 31, the trail moves to the road. So you have a detour for that particular trail off of private land onto the road to respect their time to hunt on their own land. And I know people who get upset because they have to detour, but we're privileged enough to use their land to begin with. And so if you see that a trail is detoured because of hunting, it's probably because the trail is on private land to begin with, and we should just be thankful that we get to use it at all. And so please, it is a good thing to respect their land use. And if you know somebody who's just getting into trail running, like, share that information with other people because they probably just don't know any better. And I know of people who've tried to go on the land anyway, even though it's closed during hunting. And that's just not a good idea because we can get those trails taken away from us. Private landowners are doing us a solid. And so I think it's important to respect their wishes to stay off of their land during hunting season. That's my next topic.
There's a lot of trails all over the state that are like that. Mid-States, is the biggest one that runs south to north across the whole state. One continuous trail the whole time. And there's many private landowners that do the same thing. They have a choice. They can keep it open if they want to in hunting season, but I'd close it also because it's hunting season and hunting season is big in Pennsylvania. But the biggest problem is, like you said, it's a gift that we get to use their property. But if a runner would go on it and make them angry and they decide they don't want it on there anymore, it's very simple to be taken off. Then the trail changes. So then all numbers, all FKTs, everything will change because somebody just couldn't follow directions.
Yeah.
And this is going to lead me, if we can move away from that, it's going to lead me into my first point, and it's probably my most important one, or my biggest statement, is one runner's actions can give all runners a bad name, and one hunter's actions can definitely give all hunters the word hunter a bad name. So it's important that we are, for one, we're not judgmental, because as a runner and avid hunter myself, I profile hunters as soon as I see them. So, that's just my definition of a true hunter or somebody who's out there to kill a deer or bear or whatever it may be. There's a difference. But when I see that hunter that, they're just not my definition of what I consider hunting, I instantly think about any runner friends of mine or anybody that would see them that isn't a hunter and say, boy, this is what hunting is. And it stinks because their view is based off of one person, actions, whatever that person might be doing, if it's right or wrong. But
yeah, we've all been in that situation. There's a lot of stereotypes out there about all different types of people. There's certainly stereotypes out there about hunters, but in reality, there's a lot of very nice hunters out there who are happy to share land. And it's a great thing that we get to both be on that land.
Yeah. It's just important to remember, as a singular runner, you represent all runners. And as a singular hunter, you represent all hunting.
Yes. Yeah. And so let me ask you this. When I was on, I think it was last year. It was the year before last year. I was doing the Brandywine FKT. And I was out in January because January is when my birthday is. So I was out on my birthday, January 11th. And there were people who were hunting during the day. And I was going through land. It was public land. But there were people hunting on that public land, which is fine, right? And I'm also traversing through that public land, which is also fine. And I've always been of the mindset that I probably shouldn't talk to them because, like, I'm already making noise by running and moving, but I'm not going to make it even more noise. It seems like a lot of hunters, if you give them like a little wave and a head nod, just do like one of these, then, I got a positive response usually if I do that. One of that.
Now,
how's that?
That's great, but it's all dependent on the situation. If you're talking about somebody walking the opposite way on the trail you're on, a hunter that's coming out of the woods or is hunting on the trail, and you run by them and do a head nod, that's fine. I mean, you acknowledge his existence. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, and what I always do as a hunter and a runner, is I simply ask them if they've had any, you know, quietly, have you had any luck? Because
that's a nice thing to ask.
Then you're engaging them in something that they're doing. And if they're mad at you already, they're going to say F off and keep going, or or just a simple no and keep walking. But they might just say, yeah, I saw three back there and one this way.
That's a nice thing.
Well, have a great day. And we're talking quietly, quiet voice here.
Yeah. Yeah,
because they're hunting. But yeah, I always engage with them. And
yeah, this particular situation, there were a couple guys that were in tree stands.
Yeah.
And so I was just kind of like, I see you, you see me. and we're gonna.
That's about you know what I mean. I'd want you to want to do because, like I said, you don't want to make noise.
Yeah.
And okay, that would be another point, you know, coming that we might talk about. But like as a trail runner, yeah, we all like our group runs and stuff and giggling and laughing. But if we're sharing the woods and hunting season, it's best to be as quiet as possible that time of year.
Yeah. So if I'm in a group chit chat with friends and then, oh, I see a hunter. Now we're going to get real quiet. We might
at least have the respect to be quiet when they see you. Yeah, for sure. 100%. Yeah.
I think that's really helpful. I think some people don't always know what to do. You know, they want to, you want to be nice and say good morning, but sometimes that makes sense. Sometimes it doesn't.
Now, the other thing is you have different hunters that are doing different things. Now, I've never been a hunter to walk any single trail and hunt right on the trail. It's just not my thing. I wouldn't do it because there's a good chance I'm going to see another hunter walking on the same trail. I don't want to see other people. I want to be in solitude by myself and just the wildlife and hope something walks my way. But I lost my train of thought with that.
Hunters are doing different things.
Yeah. So, I mean, thank you. So like if I'm sitting 300 yards off the trail, which is a good distance, I probably wouldn't even hear you coming, but you being in the woods as a runner isn't necessarily a bad thing in rifle season because you could be pushing a deer that just crossed the trail right down to me.
Yeah.
Which, hey, thank you, runner. I just got this giant buck because you were there.
Yep.
So it's all situational of what you're doing. If you're more than likely helping a lot of people, but the people you see right on the trail that think they're hunting by posting up right on this beaten down path, they're the ones that are going to get mad, but they have no right to be because they could have gotten off the trail.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, like my idiot loop is, you know, it's a gravel road, literally gravel road and then mid-state trail. Well, the gravel road is all open to hunting. You can stand on it and say you're hunting. Is it something I would ever do in a million years? No. Do people do it? Yes. So does Becky feel guilty about running up the gravel hill and back down with our dog? She shouldn't be because you could have got off the trail.
Yeah.
You didn't. It was your choice to sit on this
busy
accessible lane.
Yeah.
So that's my opinion.
Yeah.
It's ingrained in them to do the easiest thing possible for the result they're looking for, but no.
Yeah. They chose to be on that piece of trail, which is fine. So. Yeah.
And that those type of people probably are fine with seeing other people. I mean, the majority of them, the ones that are grumpy because you're there, I would probably have some words with because you chose this.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, what's next? What else is in that little noggin of yours?
We can talk about state game lands versus state forest lands and public lands and all that stuff. We hit on it a little bit last week, but it's something that is commonly misunderstood, I think, and we'll tie in the Sunday hunting into this part of it. But state game lands is a entity of the state. It's state-owned public property. But those state game lands have been purchased solely with proceeds from license sales, hunting license sales. So if it wasn't for hunters buying hunting licenses, that public property would not exist. They wouldn't have money to buy that property. And they constantly expand on it. If a property adjoining property is up for sale and it looks like it's a good fit for the state, they will use those monies to add that to the chunk of state game lands.
Yeah.
So those state game lands, more than anything, I feel like you should respect at least this big season of 2 weeks of rifle deer season. I will add in their bear season, which is big game, and I'll add in spring gobbler season, which is big game. Yep. Those in the main hunting seasons, at least give the respect to try to minimize your use of that during those seasons, because the hunters paid for that and you use it for free every other day of the year that they're not using it.
Yeah.
State forest land. There's a lot of state forest land up here in North Central PA. All of Pine Creek Valley, not all of it, but the majority of it is state forest land. That's open to the public. West Rim Trail is on that. It's open to the public for hunting year round if the season's in. That's not bought from licensed dollars. That's owned from the state. That's for all of us. So you can go on there guilt-free if you want to on the first day of deer season and run all of West Rim, 30 miles of West Rim Trail. Well, you more than likely run into quite a few hunters that aren't too pleased with you. Yeah. But that's up to you.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if you have anything to add on any of that. There's county parks that are public. They have certain times if the deer get overpopulated. I mean, we hunt to harvest animals to keep the population healthy, to keep it at comfortable levels that we're not hitting deer all year long with our cars, even though we always do. So yeah. It's not just a killing activity. It's a harvesting activity to feed your family. And there's many other reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. There's quite a few pieces to this, but here's one thing that I'll bring up first. And that is, so first let's go back to like the history and the structure within Pennsylvania. So a lot of people in Pennsylvania who grew up here, who lived here, don't realize all of this. When I first moved to Pennsylvania, something that struck me as very odd and unusual was that all of the parks are free in Pennsylvania. And a lot of people don't know that, that in other states, you often have to pay a fee for all of your state parks and usually all of your national parks as well. So you have a little sticker on your car. I have one on my car for when I go back to Michigan. but other states, that's pretty common. Delaware is like that. Maryland's like that. California is like that. You get a little sticker for your car and then you can enter into any of those parks. So the state of Pennsylvania does not have fees for their county parks, their state game lands, their forest. And a lot of it goes back to, do you know who is primarily responsible for all this?
Johnny Appleseed?
No. Gifford Pinchot. Mm. Gifford Pinchot, who helped Teddy Roosevelt with the beginnings of the national park system. So before he was governor of Pennsylvania, he was the head of forestry for the United States, buddies with Teddy, and then he became the governor of Pennsylvania. And when he became the governor of Pennsylvania, he expanded a lot of the park systems within Pennsylvania. So he was a big time conservationist. He was also didn't think very highly of women. So he, you know, he had some good ideas and some bad ones. He thought all women should stay in the kitchen, but he also expanded our park systems, and we can thank Gifford Pinchot for a lot of like his ideas are how things came to be now, where a lot of our state game lands, for example, you can't build on any of them. So our state game lands don't have, they don't have a corner shop. There have been provisions that have tried to pass in Pennsylvania to allow Pennsylvania to develop those lands, including making water parks and all kinds of stuff, which takes away that land from our hunters, from our conservationists, from good clean air. And so continuing to have our hunters paying for these licenses that help preserve this land is just huge for the good of the state of Pennsylvania for a lot of reasons. So it goes back to Mr. Gifford Pinchot, but I think a lot of people who live, who were born and raised here, don't realize that that is unique in Pennsylvania, that we have so much conserved land. And me coming from the Midwest, I'm used to seeing a lot of wooded area, a lot of farmland. And when I moved here, I was surprised by how just like there's a ton of undeveloped land here in Pennsylvania. It's not a bunch of suburban homes and then skyscrapers and more suburban homes. There's a ton of farmland and there's a ton of undeveloped land. And that's because of all the conservation work that continues to this day. A lot of conservation groups within Pennsylvania. So there's a big history of conservation within Pennsylvania. Our hunters help continue that legacy and make sure that it doesn't go away. So I don't know. I wanted to toss that in there in case other people didn't know. Most states do not have that same benefit of free parks for everybody. Did you know all that?
That's good stuff, Professor.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I didn't know all that. So it's good that you went over it.
Yeah, he was also a big supporter of our farmers. So he did a lot of good stuff. Just a little backwards with some other things, but other than that, he did some cool stuff.
Yes, very cool. Yeah. So I think the moral of the story is the land is for all of us. Mm-hmm. It can be shared
in
the right way if we respect one another for different reasons and respect what we're doing while we're out there sharing it.
So another thing, I'm going to do another one. I'm going to see if I can look this up really quick and see how many pounds are donated. But another thing that non-hunters might not know, I know that I'm not a hunter myself. I'm from Michigan. Michigan is a very big hunting state, big time hunting state, more than Pennsylvania for sure. And I just grew up.
Pennsylvania would argue that.
Go ahead. But in my high school, we literally did not have school on the first day of bow and the first day of rifle because there weren't enough kids that showed up.
They've done that in PA for a long time.
Down here, kids are still in school today. Yeah. But in Michigan, you don't go to school.
PA wins.
Yeah. Well, sure. Go for it. So... Michigan's a big hunting state. And so I grew up around it and I know some of these things, but if you're not a hunter, you might not know it. And if you're not a hunter, that's fine. I'm not. It's not something that I want to do. It's not for everybody. But I do know that there are a lot of hunters who will they'll shoot their first, they'll get their buck and then they'll get a doe and then they'll get another doe and they've got their fill of meat that they'll often get processed and get processed into sausage or hamburger or steaks or whatever. And then maybe they just really enjoy hunting. So they go out and they get another doe. And what do they do with that extra meat, Eric?
They put they give 283,000 pounds of venison they donate every year.
Yes. Absolutely. Where do they get donated?
You know, to the places.
Food banks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. So a lot of hunters will donate their extra meat. It's processed meat. They will take it to a processing place. And usually a lot of times the processing place will do it for free. And then that meat gets donated to food banks across all of Pennsylvania. So they get a huge amount. Like you said, 283,000 pounds of venison go to feeding people throughout Pennsylvania. And that is taking that meat off of our roads where it can, frankly, seriously hurt people and then turning it into a meal for somebody. That's great.
Yeah. I don't believe there's too many, if any at all. There might be, because I don't know this number, but there's most of the time they don't do it for free because, I mean, they have to, the people work and have to get paid, but it's not too awful much to give to pay for your deer to be butchered, and you're getting, you're giving food for a lot of people. So I think that's what most people look at.
Yeah. A lot of people will donate the meat, pay to have it butchered, and it's pretty great.
Yeah. Chris Young says the food banks give an additional option of venison. They can't make people take the venison for those.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's a nice option. You know, venison is a nice lean meat. Often it gets processed along with hamburger if you're doing burger. But it's good. So that's my other positive. That's my other reason why we, even as non-hunters, we should be kind of supporting this whole process, making sure that it continues. There have been additional days added, some Sundays added, and I'm kind of like, well, there's other places to run. You know, there are still some parks.
Glad you said that word.
Oh yeah, that Sundays.
That was my next subject.
Do it.
So. Some Sundays in the hunting season are now you're allowed to hunt, including all of archery season and all of rifle season, which is currently happening. Some hikers, runners, users of public land will argue, well, Sunday was the only day that we had to ourselves to be able to use this property. Sunday for hunters was the only day somebody was telling them that they couldn't do what they love to do. So imagine as a runner and hiker, you now have a day during the week that some entity, government official, is telling you, you're not allowed to do this. You don't need to know why. It doesn't matter why, but you're not allowed to go hike in the woods. So I am a big proponent of Sunday hunting. I think it was one of the stupidest laws that is known to man that's still out there to not allow it. And that Pennsylvania was one of the last few states in the country to start allowing it. And I hope it becomes allowed on every Sunday throughout the year, because it's my right to do what I want to do on any day of the week. It's why we live in the country that we live in. Others have that opinion that it was the only day they could get in the woods so you can't hunt. Give bird watchers and stuff a day to look at the birds without hunting and all that stuff, but it doesn't, in my opinion, it doesn't really hold up.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of those topics that's like, try to find, if you want to start your own trail race, try to find a day and a time that works for everybody and a location that works for everybody and the swag item that everybody wants. Like, people are just not going to be happy and no matter what you do. Some people, they're going to say that's not convenient for them. I've even heard from some hunters who are against it and they have their reasons. And that's fine. I just think that there's no, I don't know. People are not going to be happy with it. In my personal opinion, there are still places where you can hike trails. There's a local Nixon Park that's close to us. There's no hunting allowed there. It's a nature center. So I know there's still trails that I can go to where hunting is not allowed, which means I'm fine to go there any day of the week. So, I don't know, that one, I struggle with it. I think hunting only happens a little bit of the year. It's not like it's the whole year, all year round. And I think that we continue to be safe and we continue to be nice to each other. And there we go. That's enough.
Yeah. Only last thing I'll say on it, as a somebody with a full-time job, which most of us have, I go out in the morning running before it gets light, and I can go out after dark at 5:30 if I wanted to in the evening. But hunting is not like that. You're not allowed to do that. That's called poaching. But like, mm-hmm. I can't hunt during the week. I never could. I was in school, or now I work. So mm-hmm. I have 2 days a week that, or 1 day a week that I can hunt before Sundays were open, Saturday. If yeah. Saturday is pouring down rain, if it's yeah. really, really windy, which is not good for hunting deer, especially, or if it's dumping down snow all day long, my week, my chance, my one opportunity that week was now gone. Now that I have Sunday open, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to hunt hard both days all day long. It means my opportunity to get out and get a better chance at hunting what I'm hunting just increased a lot, because now if Saturday's crappy, I can hunt Sunday.
Yeah.
Or if yeah. your kid has a meet on Saturday or a football game, you have Sunday to hunt now.
Yeah.
It is the greatest thing that's happened to me as a avid hunter from since the time I was 12 years old. It's the greatest thing that's happened to me in a long, long time.
Yeah. And it's a good opportunity for those non-hunters who don't want to share, who don't want to be on that land at that time, to adventure and find other places to be, yeah. you know, find yeah. some new routes. It's a good opportunity for that.
But no, I mean, that's, I think that covers about everything I want to say. The only thing is, as a hunter, you know, it's all about that first impression. If there's a hunter that guts out a deer on a trail and leaves the guts laying there, you're making enemies, you know, think mm-hmm. about, think of, and the same with a runner. If you take a big old dump right on the trail and a hunter sees you, what do you think they're going to think of trail runners?
I can't do that. come on.
It's all about the first impressions. Think about, and it's not just running and runners and hunters. It's about those bird watchers. It's about the people yeah. riding their bikes.
Yep.
Just be nice and do good, and they won't judge you, and you don't have to judge them. And
yeah.
hopefully we can all live in one big rainbow.
One big rainbow. And I think it's also about education too. When, you know, you meet that runner at that group run and they say, "Hey, I just got into road running and I wanted to try out trail running. This is my first time." And then you're sharing that information. I remember talking to somebody who had switched from road running to trail running, and they were, you know, not understanding the whole on your left thing. And they were, you know, so it's about education to relieve some of that tension and let everybody know, like, it's okay. We're going to share this space with our hikers. And, you know, if a hiker wants to stop and chit chat for a little bit, that's fine. They're not messing with my pace or something, you know, like making friends with everybody out in the trail and educating those people who are new to trail, who are new to being out in the woods, letting them know, like, there's a little bit of a different way of doing things. How do you share the space with hunters? Because even if you don't agree with it, which, you know, is also okay, that's fine if you don't agree with hunting. But we do live in a world where hunting is legal in a lot of places. So even if you don't agree with it, it still exists. So it's really important to know what those rules are so that you can be safe and that we can still be respectful to each other and nice to each other, even if we don't agree with each other's hobbies, you know, because I don't know how I feel about pickleball. I'm not sure about it yet. You know, I don't know how I feel about that as a sport that exists in the real world. So we don't have to agree with each other's hobbies to still be respectful to each other and kind to each other. And then also share this space that we're all in, you know?
Yep. And a few words can disarm people that are, you can tell, are angry or mad or anything like that. Like I said, if you show interest, either whether it's a hunter with the runner or runner with the hunter, like I said, you can, if you're walking, running by them, you can always ask them if they've seen anything, because that shows you're interested in what they're doing. And then they say no, and you say, well, good luck.
Yeah.
So everything stays calm. no guns come out, nothing, no words are flying.
Yeah.
Even if they are mad, they're like, well, that person just wished me luck. I like them.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
You make a new friend.
Yeah. So, I mean, that pretty much that's all I got, Grace.
Yeah, I think we covered a lot of it. This is a good episode. You did a good job on this one.
Oh, I think it was all you, Professor.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was episode 143. Episode 144.
Yeah.
Count.
Yeah. Next one is 144. We have our streak is continuing.
Streak is amazing. I can't believe how many people are engaging on the Facebook group thing that I made and like sharing their activities daily. Like I get on Facebook, start scrolling down through. I'm like, whoa, they're everywhere.
Yeah. So many people are doing the streak, and I think there's still time to jump in, don't you?
I mean, there's no better time than now to start.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're not already,
Or now.
Right now.
Or now. Right See now. What I mean? Like you can, it never ends. Like I can, I got to keep doing this now. Like right now, you could start. Not then, but now.
Meow.
Right now.
Meow.
Right now.
Meow. So you can still join in. It is only on Facebook, and that's okay.
What's that supposed to mean? Was that a dig at me?
No, it's not a dig. I'm just saying that some things you only have so much time. You know what I mean?
On Insta now or something? On the gram? On the snaps?
Or on the? I wonder if you could do it on Strava.
Oh, the Strava groups never hold tight. That's worthless garbage.
Yeah.
You shouldn't even be on Strava anyway. It's nothing. No, I have Strava. I have Idiot Runner Strava group, and that's dead. Yeah. That's been dead for years.
All right. So it's on Facebook. And if you're not already in the Idiot Runners group, there is a page for the Running Mullet. There's also one for Idiot Runners, Run for Life or Die, Try It. Meow. And so join both of those groups, and there is a streak that is happening, and you get to choose your own adventure, what you want to streak between Thanksgiving and New Year's. And today is day 5, I think, right?
No, I lost track.
I think it's day 5. And we also have our best of happening right now. I'm going to do another post for that. You can vote for your best of for 2025. Best races, best fan, best nicknames that I give Eric. All kinds of fun stuff. Best, the Idiot Runner of the Year. That is a big one. I want to see lots of votes coming in. So that's happening right now. Secret Santa has already gone out. I'm super excited with the person I have.
Boy, it's because you got to pick them yourself.
Yeah, I do. I lay them all out and I try to figure out... how can I manipulate things? That's pretty much every day of
right.
my life.
That's accurate.
Meow.
All right, Grace, take us out. I'm tired.
Oh, Eric's got to go to bed. So make sure you follow us on Facebook and follow us on YouTube. Share and like and subscribe and do all of those things and tune in 7:30 p.m. Eastern time on Mondays to join into the chat live. And that's all the stuff.
All right. We'll see you next Monday. Grace, have a good week and all that stuff.
Same
if you haven't started, start right now.
Meow.
And I'll see you next week.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.